You know, in our society today and over the last actually several decades, we've come to be a very progressive society. Over the last 100 years, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed in our lifetimes. You know, it is difficult, if not impossible, to come up with how many changes and think about the changes that will take place in our children and our grandchildren's life. We didn't have television when I was growing up. Nobody had television when I was growing up. We had a radio. And no television. We didn't have any telephone. We had four rooms and a path. Some had baths back then, but so things have really changed. Even in the areas of food that we eat, we grew a lot of our food, and we never did grow any instant potatoes, though, you know, or anything like that. We bought coffee, tea, chocolate mix, and these type of things, cake mix, Jell-O pudding, and potatoes over the years. What those things have in common, one of the things that those things have in common is the word instant. You know, we look for something instant these days. And it's been coming along for many, many years. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant chocolate mix or cake mix, instant Jell-O pudding or Jell-O, instant potatoes, instant on TV, instant on internet. Somebody called me the other day, wanted me to speed up my internet. Well, they're not going to speed up my use of the internet until they teach me how to use it very well. You know, I didn't really care. I've got other things to do while the computer's getting to the internet. So they couldn't understand why I didn't want to pay $10 more to get all that extra speed. But we want that instant. We want instant gratification. We've even heard of churches that have drive-ins where you can go by the window and partake of the Lord's Supper. How convenient that is. But you know, in the name of convenience, have there been any things that we've lost? Has there been anything that's fell through the cracks over the years? You know, we want these changes, and changes are good. You know, I can't think at all and possibly want to go back to the first part of the last century. A lot of things they didn't have back then. I mean, we thought it was hard when we grew up. Our daddies and our mothers, when they grew up, they really had it hard. A lot of times now, we don't have it very hard. Our kids don't have it really hard at all. And their kids, yeah, I think it's going to get harder. Believe me, I think it's going to get harder. I think it's going to turn around. But in this type of wanting things instantly, you know, there's not as much problem with it unless it just totally permeates our thought processes. We want our religion instant, don't we? It's hard to keep people's attention. Have you ever been up here talking to folks, Jerry? It's hard. And I know you folks want to pay attention to what folks are saying because we're teaching God's Word. But it's very hard to keep our attention. We call what? ADD, attention deficit disorder. Sometimes I have that. I have it at the house. I can't pay attention to too many things at one time. Janice would be talking. If I'm watching the TV, I don't even know there's anybody in the house. If she could bark loud like a dog, I'd probably hear. But talking, you know, I tune in and I tune out. And a lot of times we tune in and tune out real quick. We want things done, and we want them done yesterday. I think that's what they used to say at American General. They wanted it done yesterday. You know, haven't you already got it done when they ask you about it? I remember Ken Fox, who was a
evangelist to Thailand when I went to church at the old Parkwood Church of Christ. And he'd gone over there for several years, and he came back to the States. And he said, you know, he said, things have changed. He said, you go up to a traffic light, or you do this and that, and people are just not as courteous as they used to be. You know, we've had, when we get on the interstate, we're not satisfied that we can go 70. We get dissatisfied if there's someone else in front of us and we're doing 80. And they won't move over. Road rage. Let's just pull the pistol out of the glove compartment and shoot them. Wanting things done instantly. Get out of my way and get out of my way now. You know, there's a lot of things that you can't get instantly. There's a lot of things that have gone on in our thinking that perhaps would be best if we had not changed as much in the way we thought. You know, a lot of times people want Bible knowledge. I doubt if I were to ask each one of you to go out the door this morning, do you want to know more about the Bible? Is anybody going to say no? Is anybody going to say no? But folks, sometimes we want a Bible that gives knowledge, but we don't want to put forth the effort to study it. It is very difficult to talk to someone else about the Bible study. And if we want to know why it's so difficult, let's just look at ourselves. It's difficult for us to study the Bible. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from gravestone and written scroll. For in all old flower fields of the soul and weary seekers of the best, we come back laden from our quest to find all that the sages said is in the book our mothers read. You know, not too long ago, probably about 15 or 20 years ago, I hadn't heard too much about it since though, but people were wanting the Bible condensed. I know I got something from one of the religious groups one time, a New World Bible or something like that, and I looked through it. That wasn't a Bible. It was just a few verses of the Bible, just a few chapters of the Bible. And then Reader's Digest came on the scene. Boy, they had that light to go off. Better idea. Let's have a condensed Bible. Folks want to know more about the Bible. Maybe we'll give them more Bible they don't have to know about. Maybe that'll be better. So they had I saw it on the shelves. I don't think it ever sold a whole lot. Because even a condensed Bible had to be what? Read or studied. And this is not to try to chastise each one of us, because every time when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't look in the mirror near as much anymore in the morning, but back when I used to do that, I'm talking to that fellow too. Sometimes it's difficult to do things because there's work that needs to be done in it. And today, if you've been around your kids and your grandkids lately, they want jobs, or at least many people. You might have taught your children how to work, but many people did not teach their children and their kids, or their kids didn't teach their kids that work is a four-letter word they need to be concerned about and need to be involved with. Millions of Bibles are printed each year, and the Bible is probably right up there on the top of the bestseller list, but I wonder if it's up there on the top of the best read and the best studied book. I would imagine that young people could answer more questions out of a Harry Potter book than they could out of the Bible. Some say I'd give almost anything to have a better understanding of the Bible. What is meant is that we would like to buy something. I know I used to go out and buy a whole bunch of books because I thought that book would be just the thing I needed to explain those particular things that I was really not reading in the Bible. Guess what? I didn't read the books either. It's because it's work. It takes work to do it. But you know, nothing is as dangerous as a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. As a farmer, and we grew up on a farm, but if you go out in the field and you sow the wrong seed, guess what? You plant the wrong field. Like, let's say my daddy told me in the morning to put corn or put pole beans in that particular field or that field with that corn or with this over there. It makes a difference. It makes a difference as to whether I've got knowledge on how to do that. As a carpenter, you build with the wrong lumber and then there's an inspection. As an electrician, you improperly wire a home. It has to be done all over. As a traveler, you're looking at the map wrong. I saw this GPS or whatever those divine navigation systems they have on the cars these days. I forget what kind of commercial it was, but probably you've seen it, where the guy's driving along and that little screen up there is speaking to him, giving him directions on, you know, do this and do that. And he's turned left and he's gone down, turned another way, and it said, it told him to turn left. And after he slammed into a building, it said in 50 feet. So sometimes we need to be sure that we're getting our directions right. Sometimes a lack of knowledge can be very, very dangerous. The godly man, that David said, was the man who meditates upon God's word day and night. How many meditating folks do we have these days? How many folks could have written Psalm 1 and put ourselves out there as an example? What about the Bereans of old who, when listening to the Apostle Paul and others preach and teach the gospel, they searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught from the Old Testament was so? How many of you follow up on what verses of scripture I look at? Anybody got their Bible with them today? Anybody take notes? I took notes on a preacher one time. He thought I was up to something because nobody was taking notes. But I figured if he could preach it, I could later preach it maybe using some of the main points. But you know, people, we're taught by those who know education methods that we remember a whole lot more of what we see and what we do than what we hear. So a lot of times, that's why when you're talking to somebody, yes, it goes right in one ear and out the other. But if you see something, if you participate in something, like you have a Bible class and questions are asked or comments are made, there's a manner back and forth. You see, when we come together as a congregation of God's people, we're studying the Bible, we're worshiping God, it's not like being in a movie theater. I can just sit back there and nobody knows whether I'm paying attention or not. I really don't have to. I can be in that movie and Janice can enjoy it all she wants to. But if I don't like that movie, there's no telling what I might be doing. Most of the time I don't go to that kind of movie I don't enjoy, but We're participators. We're participating now in a learning, in a teaching, a studying experience. What did Paul say to Timothy about his habits? He said, Timothy, I know I've preached to you. You've heard me preach sermon after sermon, and the Holy Spirit was directing me in those sermons. Timothy could have said, yeah. You have been. And I know everything I need to know to go out and preach the gospel, because I paid close attention. No, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, Timothy, you give diligence. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there are things that folks need to bring to my attention. Because a lot of times I won't know what's happening there, or something that I might be doing wrong, or I might be doing in a way that could be done more efficiently and effectively, then somebody needs to bring it to my attention. It would be remiss of me as a gospel preacher and teacher not to remind all of us that, you know, there are things happening out there in the world. There's a thinking going along. It wants everything right now. And there is that attitude that keeps us from doing things religiously and growing spiritually. And we don't know why. You know, when that Ken Fox came back from Thailand, he said so many things had changed. I mean, he just came back to Nashville. He said, you know, lots of things have changed. People wait. Guess what? You think I noticed that? At first, I really didn't know what he's talking about. Because, see, if you're living through all these things, if you're going out there to work on that job, if you're around other folks that are not really spiritual, if we're not careful, we can be about like the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was warned by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 by way of the Ephesian elders. And then he wrote to them in the book of Ephesians, and later in the revelation of John from Jesus, there was a lot of bragging on this church. But one of the things that they hadn't noticed, or they had done good works, it says. It says that they had kept out the false teachers that Paul had warned them about. But you know that there was something else that had crept in that they had not noticed. Jesus told Paul, said, let the folks know there that they've left their first love. That initial spark, that initial enthusiasm, that initial thing that says, I want to do God's will and I'll find out what all of God's will is so I can do it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. It'd take me long in Ephesians chapter, or in 2 Timothy 2 rather, to see that word work. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright, rightly dividing the word of truth. So how was Timothy going to rightly divide and handle the word of truth right? He was going to have to give diligence. He was going to have to put forth some effort. He was going to have to study. So when we're dealing with others, when we're dealing in Bible classes that we might teach or studies that we're having, keep in mind that folks have these things going through their minds. And also we do. That it's more difficult now for us to prod ourselves into studying the Bible maybe more than I'm doing now, and maybe more than you're doing now, and it's just difficult because of the way we've been saturated by things that are going on out there in the world. You know, a lot of times, and talking about the world in general here, a lot of folks want salvation, don't they? I mean, if you ask folks that are pretty well religious, you say, you know, do you want to be saved? Are you saved? And there are a lot of people that say yes, right? They say yes. But do we have salvation without change? Folks want salvation without change. We'd be willing to do anything to go to heaven. Now, I used to say, you know, there's nobody that wants to go to hell. I think there's some people now that could care less. Number one, they don't believe in hell. It seems like the atheists are going to get more, I don't know what the word. The word is they're more activated. Because they're not happy with just saying we don't believe in God. They don't like the fact that we believe in God. They don't like the fact that we believe in God. They don't want any Bible study in the schools or anywhere else because they don't believe in the Bible and they don't believe in God. They don't think anybody should. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the change that really God requires from those, from all of us, initially requires unbelief to become belief. It's impossible to please God without faith. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's through hearing and studying God's Word that we develop that belief in faith. And that's the only way that we can see it develop in other people that we might be talking to. In John chapter 20, 30 and 31, we've been looking at tonight, John said he had written these things that he had written in order that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing might have eternal life through Him. So John says, all I've written here and the things the other writers in Matthew, Mark, and Luke have written are written that you might believe in Christ. So initially, we need to have that faith in Christ. We need to seek to establish that in others by allowing them to hear the Word. And it requires change on our part. Jesus said in Luke 13:5, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A third thing that over the years that I've noticed, that people want Christianity without sacrifice. Christianity without sacrifice. Some folks are not even willing now to sacrifice Sunday morning if there's a game down at whatever they named the park or the stadium now with the Titans. Because that's the time to have your tailgate party and get ready for the big game of the day. Let's just take the Lord's Supper and go to church on Saturday night. Friday night. That's what folks want. That's what we'll give them. We don't have anybody show up. That's the way the thinking is. I didn't think when I was growing up and attending the church at Bordeaux that our thinking or that anybody's thinking. Not the Baptist down the straight, surely. Not the Methodist down the straight, surely. Not the Catholics, surely. Not members of the Churches of Christ. Not possible. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There's no Christianity without Christ. There's no Christ without the cross. And there's no cross without the scars of those nail-pierced hands of Jesus. He sacrificed himself. There was a lot of pain and agony that went on before he even got on that cross. When they beat somebody back then, they really beat them. The flesh was moved around on the back. They didn't just have stripes on their back. You might not have even been able to see the stripes. The flesh was plucked out by the beating that people were taking, took. And Jesus took such a beating. But when Jesus says deny ourself, he doesn't mean to not deny ourselves of something. He says deny self. Deny self. To deny self is to get out of the way. Get self out of the way. To put God's will in its place. To deny self is to forget self. To lose self in the service and the worship of Christ and God. To surrender self. And thus to lose self in the will of Christ. Acts 2:36. One of the things that Peter said in seeking to arouse that group of people there in Jerusalem on Pentecost, he told them that God had made this Jesus, made him both Lord, Master, and Christ. What about priorities in our life? Jesus said, in talking about his kingdom, seek the kingdom first, didn't he? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things be added to you. In Romans 12:1, as Paul talks to the church at Corinth, or at Rome, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies
of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is an unreasonable service. Is that what he said? Which is your reasonable service. Now, my intent is to do that. But keep in mind that it's not the intent of the world. And keep in mind that the world is not thinking like that. And keep in mind, if we're not careful, we can think like the world. And sometimes not even know it. The Bible talks about self-deception. And sometimes that's the worst kind of deception. There's no ready-made Christian life. No Christianity without effort. We cannot have Christianity by driving into a church and sitting in our car and watching church on screen. It's not what the church is all about. Many want heaven without preparation. Of course, there's a lot of folks now, like I mentioned, could care less about heaven. They don't believe in heaven. But, you know, I've never preached a funeral of where a couple or a family was involved where there weren't some folks there that believed that the individual that was being buried, that had died in their family, nobody said, well, he's going to hell. Well, why does Jesus talk about a straight way, and a narrow way, and a broad way? There must be a reason he talked about. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But you know, folks, that's exactly what we think now in religion. We think as long as we say, Lord, Lord, as long as we have our prayer, as long as we worship, as long as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as long as we sing these songs, Lord, Lord. The call to Christ is a call to service. Bible says, Matthew 24:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. And a lot of times what we want, what I want, I mean, I'm guilty if I'm not careful. And a lot of times I'm not as careful as I need to be in my thinking. I'm guilty of picking up on what's going out there, what's going on in the world. I'm guilty sometimes of saying, well, you know, well, I know this religious group and that religious group, they've gone off a deep end in this particular thing. But I'm not going off a deep end in that particular thing. But are there other areas where I'm missing the boat? Are there other areas where little by little and inch by inch, I'm getting away from what I need to be as a Christian and what I need to teach? The Bible doesn't give knowledge without study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There's no salvation without change. Except you repent, Jesus said, you shall in all likewise perish. Christianity does not exist without sacrifice. Heaven is said to be a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus said to his apostles, I go to prepare a place for you. And he was warning them to get themselves prepared. There's no such thing as an instant religion. There's no such thing as instant salvation. There's no such thing as a ready-made religion. There's a story of a student who came to his Scottish professor, that's talking about religion, and asked how long that he could safely put off deciding to follow Christ. Well, he said, you could put it off until the day before your death. Well, the boy saw a problem. He said, I don't know the day of my death. The professor said, then you can't delay. You need to do what you need to do today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Is there one here today that's not a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you know about that sacrifice He made on the cross? Do you know that He went there on the cross for our sins, for my sins, for your sins? And do you know that if He had not gone to the cross because of my sins and for my sins, I would be doomed? I would have no hope of heaven because I would not be right with God. God is a loving God, but God is a just God. God is a just God. If you've not decided to follow Christ, to confess Him before men and to repent of your sins, to be baptized, and this is what the Bible says that they did in the early days to become members of Christ's body, the church. If as a Christian you need to rededicate your life to Christ, or you need the prayers of our congregation, would you come as we stand?